close out this chapter, but there's a scripture in here that I think is one of the most, it is a powerful verse that tells a whole lot about living for God and the kingdom of God. We've been talking about disciples and discipleship, and we've been going through, how that he told them, you're going out as sheep among wolves. But when he ended it up, he let them know that if they confess him before men, that he would confess before the Father. There's a little conditional thing there. Don't you think it's a little amazing how that people have took the gospel and perverted it to the point where they almost let it seem like that Jesus died. Now you can do anything you want to do and still go to heaven because he died for you. Now that doesn't make any sense at all. Amen. That's not right. He died to save you from your sins. Amen. And the promises of God are conditional. Shake your head a little bit there. They are. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Huh? That's right. He says, I'll confess you before my Father, but you've got to confess me before men. Hey, God ain't going to slip up on you in eternity and say, here, I got a little surprise for you. Salvation! You got to get saved here. Got to get right with the Lord. Got to get born again. How many believes have been born again? Huh? That's right. He says, if you confess me, he told them, he said, look, I know you're going to go in trouble. You're going to be troubled. I know you are. You're going to have conflict, persecution. They're going to even maybe kill you. But he said, look, I know the sparrows. There's not one sparrow falls that I don't see. And I'm like, hair of your head. I got them counted. I got them organized. I got it labeled. I know you. I know you down to the hair on your head. I'm watching out for you. We can trust him. How many knows we can trust him? So he says, now, whosoever shall deny me before men, verse 33, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father and his daughter against her mother. Now, this does not give you an excuse to be a cantankerous person that's hard to get along with. Go home and start an argument with your children and say, well, God told me it'd be like this. Now, that ain't exactly what this is talking about. It's talking about when you live for God, amen, it does, in a world like we're in, how many knows that the gods of this world, amen, are blinding people's minds? It's setting it at variance. There's no way you can live for God, go out in this Antichrist world, and flow right along and nobody ever notice. It ain't going to happen. If you work on a job with men and women, and they don't know that you are a Jesus person, there's something wrong. And I don't believe you have to wear a T-shirt that says, I'm a Jesus man. I don't think that's what it is. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living your life, confessing him before men. Why don't you do that? I'm trying to live for the Lord best I can. I'm trying to live for Jesus Christ. He saved my soul. Amen. He says, a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Don't be shocked. Amen. He that loveth father or mother. Now, here's where I want to get to today. Now the reason he mentioned this is he's setting in our lives and in our thinking, he is setting in our thinking the concept of you can't love anybody more than me. Now let me say that again. He is setting the concept here in the gospel. You can't love anybody more than me. What about my mother? Mom's not here, so I'm going to go ahead and say this. You can't love mother more than him. What about my father? He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. I think people have got Jesus pictured as just a little slave, stays out in the slave quarters, and when you need him, you just go out there and ring his bell. No, he runs the whole plantation, friend. That's why he said, look at this. He said, he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. You ever see people that put their children before God? Does that help the children? You ever see anybody putting their companion? Or most of the time it's not any of these. It's their self. He gets to that point too. Hey, we're in a society that is, their bottom line is, what's in it for me, preacher? Bible said, he that loveth father and mother more is not worthy. What does it mean to be not worthy of me? Amen. You have got to live your life. You've got to adapt the attitude and the life, amen, in your heart to where you are worthy of the Lord. Right? And so he says, he that taketh not his cross. Woo! Here we go now. He that taketh not his cross. Now, I'm not talking about the little gold ditty around your neck. How many knows what the cross is? Notice what he said. He that taketh not his cross. Isn't it something how we just love to sing about Jesus' cross? And there ain't many songs in there about our cross. You think on a nice humble day like this that I'd be sweeter than this, but this is just coming out of the Bible. He said, take your cross. Now, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Amen. Christ does not want us letting him die for our sins and then us just live to suit ourselves. He says, ain't gonna work. I want you to take up your cross, your denial, your sacrifice. Huh? How many knows what the word mortify means? I preach this all the time. I know it. I've just got one song. It's a top 10 hit. I've been preaching it for years. Huh? What does it mean? What does it mean to mortify? Huh? You ever smell something real rotten and say, man, you're mortified? You know what that means? You know what that means? Dead. Dead. You know what the Bible said about the works of our flesh? How many knows what the works of the flesh are? You can turn to the Galatians and read them if you want to. Adultery, murder, and on and on and on. The works of the flesh, variance, emulation, strife. Huh? He said, you're going to have to, what did he say to do with your members? Mortify your members. Kill them. You reckon them. Now, y'all know that's a good old country term, I reckon. Huh? Now, when you say I reckon, that means, when you say I reckon, in hillbilly country talk, when someone asks you a question, and if you say yes, that's so, then you say, I reckon. So when you look at your flesh, is your flesh dead? You say, yes, it is. How is it dead? It is dead by the work on Calvary's cross. Paul said, I die with him. I died. The flesh died with him. Now I want to ask you something. Why do we have so many worldly, church-going people? Huh? Notice how quiet that is. They used to call that a holy hush. I'm not even sure it's that anymore. Why are there so many folks that go to church? Why are they so worldly and fleshly and carnal? When Jesus Christ went to the Calvary and died, that we could be free from all that. Because what did the Bible say about sin? The wages of sin is what? Death and who? Whoever commits it. Come on now, church. Somebody say amen. You say, but it's fine. It's like a young boy, amen, that I had in my office one day, and he is, I'd heard he'd been out kissing the girls. And so I just called him in, and I began to, read him his rights, and give him his, last will and testament. And I said, boy, why'd you do that? He said, it's fun. You know why you're doing the things you're doing that are against the Bible? Because you get a little gratification out of it. But that ain't going to last. Huh? I said, that ain't going to last. The wages of sin is death. Why do I feel like I'm a Lone Ranger without Tonto this morning? Huh? I don't even know where I tied silver at. Praise God. I wish y'all would help me a little bit here. Praise God. I'm going to go back again. I'm going to read it. You ain't liking it, praise God. But he said, unless you take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. Oh, I'm going to the same heaven you're going. I've had them tell me that, buddy. And I'll tell you, and I don't like to argue with people. I don't. You think this morning I'm an argumentative, arrogant aristocrat, but I ain't. Amen. I don't like to argue with people. But the Bible's right, isn't it? Huh? And he said, you got to take up your cross. There is a cross. No, you don't have to die for your salvation. Christ died for your salvation and your sanctification. Oh, brother, we don't believe in that. I know. I'm about to catch on. Huh? But we do believe in sanctification, don't we? What does the word sanctification mean? It means separated unto God. Separated from sin unto God. You know what? Hey, in order to work for the Lord, in order to preach, sing, work, teach, we have to be sanctified. We have to be clean. We can't be blamed for evil sins. Oh, we may be slandered or lied on, but that ain't. But we got to live right. Amen. The Bible said, "He that handleth the working of the Lord, let him be clean." That's why when they went into the tabernacle in the Old Testament, when they went into work in the holy place, they had a brazen labor that they washed themselves. You know what that labor was made of? It was made of the mirrors of the women that they used brass as a reflection to see themselves. Women have always wanted to see themselves. Well, come on now. So he took the mirrors and made the brazen altar so the men of God, when they went to wash themselves, they could see who it was. Hey, this is me. That's what the Word of God is. We need to sanctify ourselves by the Word of God. You say, but I feel like, amen, it's the right thing to do. But did God say it was? Huh? Come on now, church, I'm preaching to you. I know I am. I feel it in my heart. I've prayed for you, amen, for days and days and days and days in the wee hours of the morning. I know I'm right. I know the Bible is right. Amen. Somebody said, you think you're right all the time. I'm right every time I preach out of the Bible. Other than that, I'm all wrong. You need to take up your cross. Well, I don't like doing that. Amen. Let the old flesh die. Amen. But that ain't the end of it. It's not just a graveyard and bones and dust. Amen. If we die, we shall also be raised with him. And I'm not talking about the resurrection at the last day. I'm talking about a spiritual resurrection. Amen. When we used to hate and lust and envy and lie and cheat. Amen. And then we're raised from the dead and we speak good, seasoned, right words. We're honest and truthful and loving. He that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Now look at this. Here's the critical hinging point of the New Testament scripture. It says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. Now how many thinks they know what that means? If you're saved, you ought to know, because you didn't get saved until you lost your life. I believe in sanctification. I don't believe that you get kind of a little dose and then until you get prayed through and then you get that sanctified dose and then you can quit smoking and drinking. I don't believe in that. If you don't get sanctified when you get saved, what in the world is the blood of Jesus for? Huh? Oh, yeah, but then you grow in grace. How many knows you grow in grace? Amen. Amen. It's all grace, but you're not in the same place in grace you was when you started. You grow in grace, huh? You grow in grace, and you're sanctified by the Word of God. Hey, the Word of God, when you read it, when you apply it, when you put it in your heart, amen, and when you know what it means? You know what I think it means when it says lose your life? That means put your will second place. It doesn't exist over God's will. How many knows that prayer, one of the main ingredients of prayer, one of the most powerful things is prayer, is not begging God to do what you want him to do. It's getting your will surrendered to do what God wants to do. That's prayer. Amen. Wasn't it prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane when the Son of God said, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. The greatest prayer that ever prayed a prayer. Amen. And he said, how ought we pray? Pray like this. Not my will be done, but thy will be done in, on earth. Is it in heaven? You know what keeps us, amen, from prospering in God? Amen. We're not praying and submitting and surrendering our will to God. Amen. Woo! Paul said, I die daily. What does that mean? Every morning you get up, you got to, now it ain't always the same. In my personal experience, I talked to the preacher one time. He believed in a different way of sanctification than I did, but it don't matter to me how you get it. It really don't. I know it does to a lot, it might to you, but I was preaching with this brother and I told him, I said, well, my experience has been, he said, brother, you can't base the Bible on your experience. You've got to base your experience on the Bible. Well, what he was saying was, I don't agree with you. Well, okay, hallelujah. But in my experience, I got right with the Lord. God cleansed my heart. I didn't have a Bible. I had to go buy me one, start reading up and see what kind of creature I'm supposed to be, how I'm supposed to walk and talk, huh? Ain't that right? I got to praying. I got going home instead of just saying, Lord, don't let me go to hell tonight. I started kneeling at my bed and crying, putting tears down on that old mattress. And God began to just come. And then when somebody get up and preach like I'm doing, let me say this right here. When you hear preaching, does it just kind of sound like a muddled up something that you don't understand at all? It should not be that way. If a man of God is anointed, preaching out of the Bible, and you're a child of God, you ought to go to it like a baby to milk. Amen. Like a grown man to a T-bone steak. Well, hallelujah. Brother Jeff, I could take you to the steakhouse. I wouldn't have to draw you instructions on the back of the menu how to go about this. Amen. You're going to tear into it and eat the napkin too if we don't watch you. You've got, hey, I'm going to tell you, it's a natural thing. Hey, you need to take up the cross and follow the Lord and lose your life. Amen. But here's the key. If you lose your life, ye shall find it. You don't find that old dead, habitual, amen, weak, fleshly, amen, country music listening, cigarette smoking, snuff dipping, movie watching old man, but you find a clean man, a sanctified man, a man that loves God, amen, the real man that God intended to start with. Hallelujah. And don't let me hurt you now, but I'm just preaching a little of the gospel to you. A new man. How many knows it's the new creature in Christ Jesus? Old things are passed away. God don't do just a little remodeling job. Hey, I went and looked at homes and stuff. And look, people have put new vinyl siding on them and all that. But being a carpenter, Brother Keith, I go around and go into the crawl space. That's where you find out what you're buying. Go in the crawl space. Amen. Termites. Oh, no. Amen. Not even a foundation. No footing. I ain't buying that vinyl siding. It ain't going to work. Come on now. Help me preach a little. Amen. God needs to change us inside out. Put us on a good foundation. I tell you when something, listen to me now. Amen. When I know somebody has hit the rock, amen, and are sincere with God, amen. If there's little ruffles along the way, I don't let that hinder me. I don't mock them off and say I ain't got no confidence in them. I just wait on them. Hallelujah. Come on now. That's why I think every pastor ought to pastor his own church. Hallelujah. Amen. Because he knows where they've landed, and he knows what the potential is. Oh, come on now, help me preach a little. If you've landed on the rock, you're going to grow up into a great, amen, building for God. Hallelujah. I'm preaching right to you, ain't I? He says, I preached this. Sister Sheila won't remember this, I know. But when she graduated, I believe, I preached the service down here at school. Y'all got me in. They kicked y'all out over that, I think. But Cynthia, too, wasn't it? Huh? Y'all regret that? Huh? Well, I tell you, y'all pulled one on them. Somehow, no, they got on the student council or something, didn't they? And they gave y'all a choice or something. And they got me to preach the baccalaureate. I preached from this verse that day. Y'all don't remember that. But I preached on looking for life. Now, I'm telling you what, they got so mad at me. Now, my girls here, they appreciate it. They patted me on the back, but that was about it. But I was preaching on how we look for life in all the wrong places. Huh? Worldly amusements and things of this nature and money and prestige. And I was preaching that senior class, and I said, if you want to find your life, you have to lose it. You have to lose your will and your desires and your aspirations and turn that all completely over to God. And then when you turn that all over to God, guess what? You find your life. But now if you find your life, if you take it in your own hands and you work it out to suit yourself, you're going to lose your life. You'll lose the spiritual life. You'll lose the confidence. You'll lose your influence. You'll lose your place in heaven. And you'll be a loser deluxe. But when you surrender yourself to God, you find your life. Huh? Ain't that right? Ooh. Now this, Brother Mark, is what, to me, is one of the hinging verses in the whole New Testament. I know that seems odd. But if we do not perceive this, that when we get saved, we surrender ourselves to God. We don't know what that all consists of. That's kind of like when you joined the army or whatever you were in. You didn't know, really, did you? Huh? It's kind of like that marriage, Brother Charlie and Todd. And all I told Todd when I said, Todd, you know what you're doing before he got married? He looked at me like we was in there getting ready to walk out. He looked at me and I said, don't answer that. You don't know. I said, well, you can't know. Huh? You can't know. How many of you married men and say, ain't no way he can know? How wonderful is this? You know what I mean. Huh? That's right. You don't know when you give it to God. You don't know. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. I remember when I in high school, they had the superlatives, they call it, and they'd vote on people. They voted me the wittiest senior. I didn't even know what it meant, Brother Mike. I looked it up later. Because I preached a camp meeting out in Falk, and they put it in the newspaper. And I'd preached there a couple of times. And you know what they put in the town newspaper? They put that this preacher Webb is very witty. And I thought, so I went and looked it up. Because I was wanting to know what people were saying about me. Ed straightened up. But one of my old buddies, on our last will, one old boy that I harassed for 4 years in high school, when we read the wills, did y'all do that? And they had the wills in there, and it said, I'll leave so-and-so this, and I'll leave so-and-so that. Well, I got to reading down that, and old Charlie had put in there, and his boy was a Christian, carried his Bible to school every day. And he said, I'll leave my Bible to Randy Webb. And boy, everybody laughed. I laughed. I thought, boy, that's a good one. I don't know if God had showed old Charlie. I doubt it. He was just trying to gouge me because I harassed him so bad for 4 years. If anybody needs the Bible, Webb needs the Bible. Well, guess what? It wasn't 6 months after I got out of that I needed that Bible. Praise God. I needed it. Amen. I don't know. I never thought when I was growing up, when I got saved, I'd have never thought I was going to be a preacher. There's a lot of things I don't know that I did 24/7, nearly, that I didn't have any. Once I got right with God, it did not even interest me anymore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Now, if you'll drive careful and hurry, you might get to the buffet before the Baptist.